The Maim Hadar. The generations, Rav Kook's generation, and it's continuing on to our generation. Even though now, this time that we're in is usually referred to as postmodernism. In many ways, it's inseparable from the Kufa that Rav Kook lived in, that we were talking about last week on page 19. We learned that the Nekuda HaPnim is the inner point. That has brought to the collapse of Emunah, of faith in modern times, is the distortion in the world of Machshava, of the intellect, of the mind. And so of course, this is what was happening in the world Bechlal. Skepticism, naturalism, coming off of the Renaissance, the Reformation, the Enlightenment, and so on, the longing that people suddenly had for individual autonomy, to no longer have their lives dictated by institutional religion, and the failure of the Gedolei HaTorah, of the leaders of our people, to reveal the beauty, the depth, the relevance of Torah to our times, led to a situation where the old way of chinuch, like Rav Kook said, the hergel, the chinuch, whatever they received was not clarifying to them, didn't make clear what the Torah really was and the relevance of the Torah. And because of that, we saw. Let's just go back on the third line of page 19. Because of that, hey, madamim shemotzu rak stadim kehim shel regesh blei das. It seemed to the young generation that all they could see in Torah were dark, outdated, irrelevant antiques, leftovers from the past. Came shall regesh blodas, and even though they too had warm feelings for the traditions, but they saw these feelings as just that, regesh blodas, just emotions, without das, that Yiddishkeit didn't make sense. And they saw the old generation. Shall pardonus umorech. They saw all of Golus as a way of pardonus, of living in fear. Pardonus. It doesn't. Pachad means just to be afraid. Pardonus means that the Jewish people had become, in their eyes, had become cowards, weak, cowardly. We'll talk about the Pachdonis in a few minutes in the piece in the Gvetz, and we'll talk about that. Bloy oymet slave, without confidence of the heart, the strength of the heart, the gvur zachayim, and a healthy, strong life. Vayecham levavam bekirbam. And the hearts were heating up inside of them. Meaning, a feeling of anger. A feeling of disappointment. Umitar shalei matzu derech slula, eich la ha'ir. Since they did not find a paved way, a path, wasn't shown to them. Eich la ha'ir, ba'or hadas al ha'regesh, ha'mishumar le'umaseinu. They were not shown any way to shine a light of das, of understanding, of the intellect. Al haregesh, to see that it wasn't just a matter of Yiddishkeit is not just an Indian of emotions. Al haregesh hamashuma l'umaseinu. They saw the separation between das and regesh. As far as das is concerned, as far as intellect and understanding is concerned, they were looking for that in European culture. Regesh, the warmth, the feelings of the past, they still had, but there was no connection to the das. There was a complete disconnect between das, the intellect, and the heart, between the mind and the heart. So they didn't find it. Derech slula eichlo ha'ir be'or hadas, al haregesh amishumel umusenu, they didn't see any or hadas, any light of the intellect shining into the emotions. They saw them as two separate worlds. There's the European culture. Remember the time we spoke of the scientific revolution and so on. European culture was at the apex of intellectual advancement. And as far as Yiddishkeit was concerned, no one showed them the das. They were not explained what Yiddishkeit really is. It wasn't explained to them what Yiddishkeit really is. So the Or Hadas, the light of Das, never infiltrated into the emotions, into the warm feelings that they had for the traditions of the Jewish people. Shalomatsu derech slul ech lohir bor hadas al haregesh hamashuma l'umaseinu, that regesh that is mashuma, that is guarded and kept within our nation. Min hayomim hayoyse atikim, from the old days, from ancient times. Vegam hayoyse atayva, and from the even from going back to the wonderful times that we had in our past. So there's Rav Kook told, there was an oitzer, a treasure of regesh. There's an oitzer of emotions that these people had, but they didn't understand. And they saw these emotions as nothing more than just superstitions and nostalgia from the past and so on. But without any das. Loi motsu derech leromeim es kol nekudosov haprotius. They did not find any way to lift up all of the individual nekudos, meaning all of the halachas, all of the dinim, all of the halachas. They didn't see any way to lift up. They saw these, as we learned in the Aris HaTorah, they saw all of the halachas and all of the customs and the halachas, they saw them as nekudos pratios that didn't make any sense. That didn't make sense. So yes, it's a nice thing to sit in the sukkah with the family, and it's a nice thing to sit around the seder and to sing about Yitzhak and Shem. All of that they felt connected to, but they looked at it as being irrational nostalgia, and it couldn't compete with what Europe is offering. It couldn't compete with the sophistication, with the excitement, with the entertainment, etc., etc., that Europe was offering at that time. All of Yiddishkeit was just a bunch of nekudos pratios, just pieces. But nobody was showing them how to put it together. So there was a lot of regesh left over from the old days, which they attributed to superstition and nostalgia and so on. But the Or Hadas was not connecting the dots between all of these dinim and halachas to create one system of life. At the same time, there were brilliant philosophers who were offering philosophies of life, ways of thinking, comprehensive worldview of how to see things. And when it came to Yiddishkeit, they saw it as Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dal. It's Machlokes Rashi Ramban. This halacha, Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, Sif Gimel, Sif Dal. A million pieces without anything clear. Without, nobody was sewing all of these pieces, weaving them together to show, like we spoke about last week, the hashkifa, the hashkofas, oilam of what it means to be a Jew. The whole picture of what it means to be a Jew. They didn't see it. Haprotios. They didn't find a derech, a way to lift up all of these little nekudas, the individual pieces of Yiddishkeit. Ad nekudas hagova shel haseichel hamisnaseh, to the nekudas hagova, to the higher nekuda, to that higher realm of what? Seichel hamisnaseh, of the intellect that is ascending, the intellect that is misnase, that is above, that is high, that sees everything from that perspective of bigness, of greatness. Nobody showed them how to connect the dots. To the intellect that is investigating, trying to understand the nesivos olam, meaning the pathways of life, of the world, of the universe, and the philosophers, the scientists, the thinkers of Europe were doing that. So religion was taking a tremendous beating. Religion b'chalal was taking a tremendous beating, and we weren't potter from it. And we didn't rise to the occasion. The tzaddikim were desperately struggling to bring forth a comprehensive hashkofa of Yiddishkeit. So we're talking about from the time the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Gra and the Ramchal, big tzaddikim who were finally uncovering, the Rebbe Yisrael sent them to uncover the secrets of Torah, Pnimis HaTorah, and to present to Am Yisrael the bigger picture of what it means. What's Am Yisrael and what does it mean? What does it mean to be a Jew? But by that time, and because of the hisnagdus to all of this, the hisnagdus to Ramchal, the hisnagdus to the Baal Shem, the hisnagdus from the old school, even to the Gra, not to the halachas of the Gra, but as far as the Gra's teachings in Kabbalah, there was no official hisnagdus in the world of the Vilna Gaon. It was just that two generations after him, it was even a generation after him was for the most part ignored. There were just small groups of Talmidim of the Talmidei HaGra were studying Pnimis HaTorah, but to a large extent, it was the old way of Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis. The first Tosis on the page, the second Tosis on the page. And everybody who learns Tosis knows that there's no connection between the first and second Tosis on the page. And while at the same time that this is going on, there was a revolution that was taking place within Klal Yisrael by the Chassidim and in the yeshiva world and so on, with the new Derech HaLimud. Even the Derech HaLimud we spoke about many times during Osa Torah, the way of learning that was developing in Poland and Lithuania, there was a more comprehensive way of understanding learning. The bigger picture of the Sugi and the Gemara, the bigger picture, the lumdas of it. So this also was a means of fighting against the Haskalah, to fight against what was happening in Europe at the time. But the Hamoin Am, the multitudes, were not going to yeshivas. They're trying too hard just to earn a living and to manage with the pogroms and the tsaros and so on. And so in all of Europe, how many, a tiny percentage were able to sit and learn. But as far as the exposure to the culture of Europe, they were surrounded by it. The air of freedom, there was a tremendous, tremendous excitement in the air at that time. After the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the American Revolution was tremendous excitement. Haseichel hachofeitz losoloi es orcho b'mada achayim. The mind wants very, very badly to pave its path in its understanding of life, b'mada achayim, in the understanding of life. It's natural, especially for Jews. Jews are an am chochem v'novem. We want to understand. Ad nekudas hagova. The seichel wants to be able to understand. Ad nekudas hagova. To reach that higher understanding, the higher place, how medis lamala. Like I mentioned last week, like standing on top of the mountain, and to be able to see, oh, this is what Yiddishkeit is. This is what Yiddishkeit is about. Even to study Jewish history. To this day. So like, you know, now everybody's scrambling to figure out what are we going to do to save the kids, what are we going to save the kids. But to study Jewish history, to have a musig of who, where are we, who, what's happened until now, how do we fit into the whole thing? Just understand the context. It's natural to want to understand this. It's natural that when you're learning a Blad Gemara and it says Abaye and Rava, it's a normal, healthy question to say, who are they? Nobody ever told us that it, I mean, again, maybe the younger people are hearing this. When I grew up, no one ever told us who Abaye and Rava. Who are they? Those are two rabbis in the Gemara. Nobody ever told us who they were. Who they were? What was going on in their? What was going on at that time? Nobody ever told us who they were. And if somebody would ask, they say, "Yeah, big tzaddik and big tzaddik." But nobody ever told us. So those who were starting to try and take out books, what were the books that were written? The books were mostly they were written by Epicurus. So I read all of those. It didn't help my davening or anything. But who was explaining to us the context? Come to Tisha B'Av. Oy, Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av. What's Tisha B'Av? What's the Beis HaMikdash? What was going on in the Beis HaMikdash? We just thought it was like a big fancy building. And the killing animals. Why did they have to kill so many animals over there? And spices, incense. But no, what is it? What is it? When was it? What was happening in the world at that time? So the inquisitive mind naturally is seeking to understand these things. And the answer was usually the same. Fetish unconscious, you know. Fetish unconscious. Don't, what are you asking? What are you asking? What's the matter?
I think there's also fear that because people use historical context to say, like, oh, they said that because they were influenced by this historical context, but it doesn't really apply to us. Like, that was the usual historical method, so probably right. Reaction to that.
Right, there's no question that the only study of history that they were familiar with was non-kosher study of history. It was not, and the same thing would come to the study of, when it came to the study of Tanakh. How to learn Tanakh, how to understand Tanakh. Is it possible to be a Jew without having an understanding of Tanakh? But the way that Tanakh was being taught, and the way that history was being taught, understandably, the old school resisted. But instead of teaching it the way that it's being taught now by many people, instead they just said you're not allowed to look at any of this. But they didn't offer an alternative. And if you don't offer an alternative, you're looking for trouble. Look, even the Malbim was a genius of geniuses. You know, he got into tremendous trouble. He wrote the Perush on Tanakh. What do you think? The Malbim was Tzadik Yisod Olam. He was living in the hotbed of the Haskalah. Why did the Malbim write such a Perush on Tanakh? Because the Malbim saw that the generation was being pulled more and more into that world. Those who were teaching Tanakh were either not Jewish or had no Yiras Shamayim. And the Malbim was trying to save Klal Yisrael. So he wrote his Perush on Tanakh, which is Kodesh Kedoshim. He wrote his Perush on Tanakh to try to reach out. It was a very, very modern idea. And he got into a lot of trouble for it. You can't say the Maskilim hated them, and there were many also even by the Chassidim that gave him trouble. Depending which among the Chassidim and others, he recognized this as a huge problem. Where are they getting their Tanakh from? Where are they learning the Tanakh? Because they're looking for it because they want to understand. So the Malbim wrote a Perush, and the whole Tanakh which is very unusual for a person. He was considered to be one of the, from the biggest Ilui and the biggest geniuses in learning in the whole world. And everybody was shocked that he comes out with a Perush on Tanakh. Like, why isn't he writing more Chidushim on Shas? First, he wrote a small sefer in Halacha. Because that would be a brilliant sefer, because that would be then he would be respected in the Torah world enough so he'd be able to put out the books on Tanakh, the Svarim on Tanakh. But the modern method of studying Tanakh, the modern method of studying Jewish history, was tainted, was filled with apikarsis, and look, when it came to Jewish history, I don't know if you're familiar with the Doros HaRishonim from Yitzhak Isaac Halevi. Yitzhak was also a goyin, a genius, and he wrote books on history. Again, were they accepted? In certain circles, they were accepted. Rav Kook was a huge fan of the Doros HaRishonim. For the most part, they were not well received. How come he's writing a book on history? What's the matter with just learning Gemara? Why do you have to write the history of the Gemara? And he had a lot of aggravation from that, the Doros HaRishonim. It's hard for us to understand these things from where we are now. It's hard for us to understand like what was the problem. But he says, Sechel HaChofetz Los Los Orcha B'Mada HaChayim Ad Nekudas HaGova HaOmedes Lomala. The mind was seeking to find a path to rise to ascend to the highest place to see from above. I feel him in Hieronymus HaMetaphysis, even to the highest level of an Hieronymus metaphysical, Hieronymus exaltedness. Page 20. Al Kain Panelo Regeze El Hazilzel Vahashlila. And something terrible happened. All of those warm feelings that the young people had, the new generation had, all the warm feelings they had for the traditions began to sour and turn into regesh of zilzil and shlila. Zilzil means making fun, mocking, looking down on the old ways. Zilzil, making fun. Al kein panelo regesh ze El Hazilzel Vashlila. It became negative. Mikaev life. From the pain of the heart. Umi nefesh mar and the bitterness of the soul. Ve'efes toichen lechayim. The generation saw absolutely zero, no meaning to life. They didn't see any meaning to life. They were looking for meaning. So what happened is, Nisbuchu rabim lelochamim, the miflagos ke'ela. So many of our boys and girls became enemies of Yiddishkeit. And they joined Nisbuchu. Many of them were swept along and they became fighters. Nisbuchu rabim lelochamim b'miflagos ke'ela. They joined foreign armies. They went off to foreign armies, not actual armies, but they went off to European literature and culture and science and so on. Nisbuchu rabim lelochamim b'miflagos ke'ela. And they joined up with the armies of the Enlightenment. Shliakirem sham mekomam klal. Ve'hemoysim eschelam lazarim. To armies, to miflagos ke'ela means parties and groups and movements that don't, where they have no place at all. They couldn't find themselves in those places either. Ve'hemoysim eschelam lazarim. And they gave over all of their strength to strangers. Instead of giving over their koiches to Am Yisrael, they joined foreign movements, and they gave over all of their koiches. V'hemoysim eschelam lazarim. Look on page 19 in the note. on the side of the page. They couldn't find any way to lift up all of the individual pieces of Yiddishkeit to the Nekudas HaGova, to the higher point of understanding of the intellect. So he brings from the Eretz HaKodesh, Chelek Aleph, B'Rivos HaYomim Yoved HaRegesh Es Erko. Over time, the way of the nature of a human being and the nature of the collective is that over time, emotions begin to lose their value. And when you have something, when it starts, it's very, very exciting. But over time, if something is based primarily on emotions, then without seichel, then over time, he says, "Bervaisayam yovat haregesh es erko." Regesh has a way of, in the beginning, there's a lot of excitement. Ein chasidus ke chasidus rishoni. There's an expression. It's very strong. When you discover something, there's a powerful feeling of a passionate and powerful feeling of caring and love and so on. But over time, the nature of regesh is that it's very hard to rely upon regesh. Very hard to rely upon a relationship of regesh. Just to rely upon regesh is very, very hard. Yisyashen v'yisdaken. It becomes old. Becomes old, and dry, and stale. V'lo yosif teis es koichai. So that the emotion can no longer give its strength to that relationship, or to that belief, whatever it is, if it's just based on emotion. Over time, it's the nature of emotions. Avazik ha-tamsis ha-sichli shabai. However, that spark, that flash of understanding, that flash of the intellect that is contained in that, that's contained, if there's a kernel of thought, of depth, of intellect, that is at the core of the emotion, emachu etan v'tahor, if at least it's strong and pure, the understanding, at least if it's strong and pure, lo yaef lo yizdaken. The nature of that nekuda, that point, that inner core of intellect, of understanding, its nature is it does not get old. It doesn't get old or tired. So you have like marital unhappiness is a big business. So you have millions and millions and millions and millions of couples that they're meshugge in love. The whole thing was based upon regesh. The whole thing was based upon emotion, and then at some point when the emotions and all the excitement that comes with the relationship, the other things, the outside things, the things of taivus, and all of that is already has grown old. So then two people look at each other and they're thinking, why did I marry this person? Madua, why? That horrible question. Madua, why did I marry him? Why did I marry her? When I was in college, every drugstore you walked into, there was a song that was, I don't know who was singing it, but the words were, you know, there were certain songs at certain times that everywhere you went, that's all that they were playing. So there was a song that it's nothing but emotions taking you over. I don't remember the rest of it, because that was like a high thing in the song, and every time, everywhere you walked, you heard that. But it's nothing but emotions taking you over. So when emotions take over, when a relationship is based, not that the regesh is very precious, feelings, emotions are very, very precious. But when there's no, what Rav Kook calls zik hatamsis asichlis, which is eitan v'tahar, if there's no inner core of understanding that this makes sense, that's strong and that's pure, that hasn't been tainted by desire and so on. So then it's nothing but emotions, and when the emotions, as emotions are, they grow stale. And so when things quiet down on that front of the emotions, so then the Shaila says, well, what is this? So it's the same thing that happened, Rav Kook says, with the Yiddish guy. The generation saw they had strong feelings, emotions, but They don't understand, what is this? Madua. Like, why do? How do we get into this? So the usual response would be, Nasa v'nishma. Which meant, you're not allowed to ask. Just like our ancestors in days of old stood at the foot of Har Sinai, which they did, and the mountain was held over their heads, and they all came up with a fantastic thing, this thing that has been haunting us ever since then. And they said Nasa v'nishma. And I'm a big fan of that. But it didn't work. It wasn't working. Nasa v'nishma means we will first do and then we will ask. But there was never a date that was given of when you're supposed to ask. Didn't come like with an expiration date on the Nasa. So what happens is that the typical inquisitive yeshiva bacher will ask his Rebbe, but why Rebbe? And the Rebbe will say, Nasa v'nishma. So the kid thinks that probably means next week, he'll tell us. So then he asks the Rebbe next week, but Rebbe, why? Why are we wearing little writings on our arms and our head? So, Nasa v'nishma. So then it comes a month later. How long could it be already? Nasa v'nishma. So then the next level of that is, when you'll be older, you'll understand. That was the line that, when you'll be older, you'll understand. So then it comes back when he's 70 years old. The Rebbe is 95 years old or something. He says, Rebbe. And then it starts all over again. Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. And he's still asking, but why? Madua. Madua. I don't understand it. I don't understand. What is this? And what's particularly pathetic about all of this, really, is that you don't have to give that much nishma. You just give a little bit. You give a little bit of nishma, just a little sprinkles of nishma, and the nas will be fine. But there's been traditionally tremendous resistance to nishma. And if there is some sort of a nishma, then it's like, simplistic Tamei HaMitzvahs talk and stuff like that. Which will work for many people, but for many, many, many more, it's just a cop-out. It's just some kind of cop-out. You just give me the business. Don't tell me that. You give me the business. Don't give me the business. It's insulting. That's not that. Don't tell me that that's what God is about. Don't tell me that that's what God is about. What is God? What is the Baruch Hashem? What is this? What is this about? What's the Madua? So when it's just continue to rely upon your emotions, and the emotions are already very stale, and it's already a long time since the Bar Mitzvah, was excited by the Bar Mitzvah, then afterwards. So the Bar Mitzvah is an Indian of Maimon HaSinai, Nasa v'nishma, and so on, but then afterwards it's... So you just, you're getting up, you're 17 years old, the Bar Mitzvah is already 4 years ago, and you have to get up for Slichas. You don't understand the word of what the Slichas is talking about. So why should you say something you don't understand? Nasa v'nishma. Why couldn't somebody write the Slichas in a language that we understand? Don't ask questions like that. They were very great and holy people. You're not allowed to ask these questions. Your job is to say them. Finally, somebody said, all right, it's not my favorite to translate some of this stuff. But if you're a real from guy, if you're really from, you wouldn't say it in English. And this all just... So there are a lot of chevra, they say, I'm not this crazy. I can't do this anymore. It's like, I'm checking out. I'm checking out. So if Cook is saying here, no, it's a kredish in the note... That if there's a zik tamsis hasichlish, but that's why a flash of clear understanding that's at the core of the emotions. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a lot. No one's saying that everybody has to be like, has to be like some big bal machshava. But a zik tamsis sichlis, a ma'achu etan v'tar, if it's at least strong and pure. Such a thing, he says, lo ya'ef, v'lo yizdakein. That doesn't get tired. That doesn't get old. Emotions get tired. Lo ya'if, lo yizdakei. Ha'emes kayemes la'ad. That's what we're going to be diving. That's what we're going to be saying. V'dvaracham la'keinu emes v'kayem la'ad. The emes, emes is kayem la'ad. Emes is forever. The truth, if it's the truth, it's strong, it's kayem la'ad. But if you don't understand what the truth is about this, if you understand the truth, what is the truth about this? Person comes to kaparis, the chicken standing up, he holds the chicken in his hand, the chicken looks at him and says, do you understand why I have to go through this? The chicken's looking at you, and he says, do you understand why am I going to have to suffer for you? What do you have an Indian with me? And the guy says, just be quiet, I don't know what this is about either. This is the two of us, just, I'm sorry, I have nothing against you personally. And he's standing, he says, what is this, Bnei Adam, Yeshua Chal, some of us? He says, what's this guy doing with me over here? I was enjoying my life, and this guy, and all of a sudden, goes, whoa, what's going on over here? Zekah Prozit, Yatim Prozit, Chal, Prozit. And this chicken's getting slugged over there. He doesn't know what's going on. And the chicken's screaming out, what are you doing? He says, I don't know, just be quiet.
Tell him that's an Ishmael.
The chicken. Right. He doesn't understand. The chicken doesn't understand. Nobody understands. The people that are giving the chickens don't understand. The people that are selling the chickens, that are buying the chickens, they're shacking the chickens. Just slugging. Everybody's slugging chickens. Chickens, boom, throw them on the floor, take them away, shack them, and now I'm going to be forgiven for all my sins. And I'm not making fun of kaparis. Chalila. Kaparis is kodesh kadoshim. That's not what I'm saying. God forbid. What is kaparis? What does that mean? What's the inin of a chicken, of a rooster? What is that? What is that bria that God made? And what does it have to do with kaparas ha'avaynis? What's that bria? What's that bria? If a person would understand that, he wouldn't wave some quarters over his head. What's that? But he doesn't understand, so he starts to. So what's that bria of a chicken? A person doesn't understand. What's the meaning of a chicken? There's somebody who says, "Hanayis no sechvi in lahav kaminim alay." What's the sechvi? What's the tanagol? What's the tanagolas? What does it mean? So you say. So you ask, why am I waving a chicken? So someone says, "Well, this chicken has very deep significance." Why is a chicken of deep significance? Usually I fry it or I bake it. I don't know what's the big significance over here. What's it with my kaparas? So what's going to be with it? So what do you... So the Teretz is regesh, emotions. We're fond of these things. We saw them by our parents and our grandparents, and we have a certain feeling for them. Say that with feelings, without the zik, without at least a spark of understanding. It doesn't have to be a lot, but a spark of understanding... doesn't work. But ha'emes, when you have something, a piece of that truth, of the bigger picture, ha'emes, kayemes lad. That doesn't get old. That doesn't get weak. Ha'emes kayemes lad. V'dvarach ha'malkeinu emes v'kayem lad. U'memkoyre tishlach plogim lahashkeis tal chayim. And the truth sends forth from its source waves of tal chayim, the dew of life. It sends forth to constantly give life to everything that we're doing. When you understand what you're doing, it sends waves of tal, of do. Lahashka is tal chaim, like the tal that we believe is going to bring the dead back to life, the tal shel tchiyah, to revive, to give life. Again, why is that tal? What does tal have to do with tchiyah? Lahachya is anofim chadoshim. And from that tal, Rav Kook says, there can grow new branches, fresh, new fruits. The eitzim ra'ananim, and fresh and healthy trees. From that emes, which is at the core, from that understanding, from the seicha, from the das, that is at the core of the emotions. They will be able to bring forth new branches, new fresh trees that will grow, and that will not only that, but will bring forth new emotions, because you're still holding on to the emotions from the chuppah, and that's already old and stale, but But the zik, that understanding, the seichel, the emes, has the ability to bring new emotions, to revive old emotions. Molei koach alamim, filled with hidden strength. Or aluma means, could mean alma, means from the youth, like alma, like filled with youthful strength, youthful energy. Ashi yamaleis amokim shel haregesh, that will now fill in for the place, will fill into that place of the regesh, of the emotions that have already, from the old emotions that have already run dry. Asher nafal mazikna, that have already fallen because of old age, that have already died because of old age. It's the same thing in relationships with friends, the relationship with a husband and wife, relationship with kids, relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the same thing. If you're just playing off of, if you're trying to play off of some old feeling from a long time ago, then, you know, it happens like with friends, so then at some point they don't really stay in touch, and they call once a year. Now you don't have to even call, you could text somebody once a year. That you'll have a list of 200 people that are on your Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova Masuka list, and you press the button on the text, and it goes all over the world, and everybody gets a little thing from you, a good cheer, or whatever it is. But so what happened to that relationship when you were in yeshiva together? You thought that we're going to go through Golas together, we're going to end up together in Mitzvah Shem by the Beis HaMikdash, we're never going to be inseparable. So it has to do with regesh, not without a zik of seichel and so on. It's like that. That's how it is with everything. So he explains the people that put this together. Says la'amita shodaver. So that's what we were just read as Maris Hakodesh. La'amita shodaver ha'emuna einene regesh b'lavad. Of course, the truth is that emuna is not just an emotion. Chas v'chalila. And this, by the way, was a concern that Rav Kook had with Polish Hasidus. He had a very strong concern, although he had tremendous love for Hasidus. There is a certain ambivalence in his writings towards non-Chabad Hasidus. He was very rooted in Chabad. That was his unique, it was from Chabad. I mean, his mother's family, they were from the Tzemach Tzedek. The uniqueness from Chabad was very strong. He gave Jerusalem in Chabad Hasidus when he was Rav in one of the towns he was Rav, it was all Chabad Hasidim. He gave Jerusalem in Chabad Hasidus like a Rebbe. But in the non-Chabad Hasidus, he was very concerned about the emphasis on Regesh, the emphasis on the ecstatic, emotional quality of what was being taught, as opposed to what he saw in Chabad was a much broader hashkafas achayim of understanding the whole thing. So he was very, very concerned about that. His strongest connection was to Chabad and the Breslov in terms of chassidus. That was his strongest connection. But he was worried about regesh, about emotions. Emunah, of course, is not just about emotions. L'amita shodavar emunah einen regesh bulvad. It's not just a matter of emotions. That's what we were talking a little bit at the end last week, which is a serious problem in our days, postmodernism, where it seems that the intellect is already not anything that most young people are particularly concerned with. Old people aren't doing too great either in it. And it looks like it's all about emotion. So is it possible to sustain an excitement in Yiddishkeit that's based upon emotion? Then we're running into the problems that Rav Kook is talking about. That these are the problems that we had back then. So we're trying to keep up. So we're trying now to ignite strong emotions, strong feelings about Yiddishkeit. If it's not going to be together with a deep understanding of Yiddishkeit, it doesn't last. History has proven this over and over again. It simply does not last. It could become marginalized in strange movements and strange things, or it just fizzles out. It fizzles out. And there's no such thing as Emunah Yisrael, Emunah without understanding. Emunah ain't any regish b'levad. Emunah is not just a feeling. Of course, the essence of Emunah is the elokus that's within us. But we need to understand what is a nefesh, what's a ruach, what's a neshama. What are the kaiches and nefesh? Who am I? How does this work? Ain't any regish b'levad. Kishem she'enene seichel b'levad. And it's not seichel b'levad. It's not just intellect. Chas v'shalom. And when Rav Kook is talking about the need for that, for the need for the intellectualization, he wasn't talking about cold intellect. He was talking about what we were learning throughout the entire Eretz HaTorah. He was talking about Pnimius HaTorah. And Kuzri and Maharal, to have a broad understanding of Ramchal, of what Yiddishkeit is, to put the pieces together. He wasn't talking about cold, God forbid. It's seichel with regish, the intellect with the emotions. That's Yiddishkeit. It's not one without the other.
Sorry, Rabbi, what says if you do without Lishma, become Lishma, so how does that work together? If there's no understanding, you'll never grasp.
Shaloi Lishma, what do you mean? What do you think it means, Shaloi Lishma? Shaloi Lishma doesn't mean that a person doesn't have any understanding of anything. It means that his motivation, he's lacking in a certain motivation, in a certain drive to be able to be mekayem the mitzvahs l'shem Hashem or to be dovuk to Hashem. But it doesn't mean that it's, God forbid, an empty, rote, meaningless act. That's not what it means, loy l'shma. It doesn't mean what I mentioned last week, what they call now this new type of a social orthodoxy, where people are being mekayem mitzvahs, so they don't believe in mitzvahs. It doesn't mean that. Not believing in people in Mekayimis, they don't believe in Kadosh Baruch. There was this whole article that was written, and then now people are responding to this article. And a fellow wrote an article about this that he came out and said that he doesn't believe really in anything, but he keeps the mitzvahs. It's not an old thing. Really, goes back in. The last century, that was really the Mahalach of Echad HaAm. Although Echad HaAm himself was not Mekayim. Maybe at the end he started again, but he wasn't Mekayim all the mitzvahs. He was the Mechal Shabbos. But he spoke about the Torah as an institution that gives life to the Jewish people and has to be preserved. But not Emunah. Not Emunah. But the mitzvahs have to be kept. Shabbos has to be observed. The Yom Tovim should be. That's not Echad HaAm didn't promote observance of Shabbos, but the new social orthodox. I wouldn't call it a movement, but this interest in social orthodoxy, that is the last year or two that is starting to come to the surface of people who don't have emunah, who are not mamina, but they just keep things because they feel that it's important to connect, keep that connection going, and so on. Yiddishkeit is not just regesh, and that's just seichel. Kasha ein yecholas seichlus. When there's no intellectual capability, latzmiach regesh chadash, to bring forth new emotions, min hayayin hayoshen v'atov, from the good old wine of Yiddishkeit, then what's obviously going to happen, what has happened, is pona haregish lazilzel ulakfir. Then the emotions turn to zilzel, to making fun, to mocking Yiddishkeit and kfira, and to heresy. Turns to zilzel and kfira. And that is where we found ourselves, in the 20th century. That's the world that Rav Kook was watching. And in our times, we said, in our times, there's this effort, I shouldn't call it an effort, but there's this tendency to ignore the intellect, the understanding of Yiddishkeit. Remember that years ago, when we were still in Farakway. So there was some kind of a Shabbaton, and they were in the house. I had a lot of chevra in the house, kids in the house, and from the neighborhood, Shama Shabbos, you know, from families, and the kids were over, and I don't know what it was. We were Friday night learning, and I was saying over a piece from Reb Tzadik from Lublin, Reb Tzadik HaKayin. It was around 30 years ago, saying a piece from Reb Tzadik HaKayin. So this father came over to me afterwards, because he got there a little bit early, and he was listening to this thing Reb Tzadik, and he said to me, he said, "Boy, I never heard anything like that." So first I said to him, "Well, your kid hears things like that." So he said, "I never heard anything like that." He said, and then he said to me, I thought the Chassidim just tell stories all the time." That's what he said. "I thought it's just stories. I thought, who is this Reb Tzadik? I thought they just tell stories." So this horrible misinformation, both about Chassidus and about the world of Musar as well, and it's not just in Chassidus, it's just the oimik, the depth that reaches into the seich, the mind of Reb Tzadik, the mind of Reb Yeruchim. These tzaddikim were not chalila, were not opposed to a warm Yiddishkeit filled with emotion. What they were saying was the same thing it says in Pasuk, V'yadata hayom v'hashev oisei levavecha. You shall understand it and draw it into your heart. And then everything new that you understand, that's what he's explaining, everything new that you understand brings forth new emotions, new feelings. Otherwise, you're just relying upon the chup. You're just trying to draw off the old emotions, and the account is already, the account is drying up. It's empty. From what you felt when you got married. Or we felt, you know, "Oh, you remember when we were first married?" So they look at each other, I don't feel that now. But you remember what it was like. Remember, it's all nostalgia. It doesn't last. And then what happens is, the same thing that happened with Yiddishkeit, Zilzal and Kfira, and people begin to be not nice to each other. Why? A husband and wife. Because especially the woman is expecting these emotions. That's why we got married. And he's, you know, he's just more interested in the Wall Street Journal or something, whatever he's doing. Hopefully that's what he's up to. And he's more interested in that. And she's waiting for some deep, you know, emotional thing. And so it's because of that expectation, there's a constant disappointment. Because she still lives at that in the chuppah. He moved on. She still wants that what was at the chuppah. There's nothing new. And they just get further and further and further apart. And then what happens is she becomes hurt and angry. And the guy, so he's just sitting there reading the newspaper. It's like a typical day in many households. He's reading the newspaper, and she starts like to, she's angry at him. And he looks from around the newspaper, or maybe makes two holes and he looks through. And he says, like, what did I do? What did I do? He doesn't get it. And she says, "Oh, you know what you did." He goes, "I don't know what I did. I was just reading the newspaper." It's not what he did, it's what he didn't do. It's what he didn't say. He's not showing, and he's not emoting, and so on. So she starts to treat him in a way of zilzal and kfir. Because she's playing off the old emotions. The old emotions already is drying, is dried up. And she's trying to use that. He bechlals, because a man is more out of touch with that malacha. So he's not playing that game of mulz gevein, what was. And can we just be nice to each other in a family? Everything's fine. And she starts to scream, "Why are you looking at me that way? Why are you talking that way?" He said, I wasn't talking to you at all. I haven't spoken to you in 40 years. What are you getting all upset about?" She's upset. "Why is she all upset? Why is she getting all upset?" And the guys always say, "I don't know what she's so upset about." Zilzal and Kfir. They start to treat each other in a bad way. They're nice people. Every time you see this, they say, "They're such nice people. Why are they treating each other like this? Why are you so angry at her? Why is she so angry at her? Why is he angry at her?" Because why? Because there's supposed to be warm feelings. Because they remember. They remember. But Lamais, it's not gone. And it's really old. And there hasn't been anything new to revive, new in sichlius and pnimius to revive to be mechazik, to grow new emotions. They're not new emotions, it's the old emotions. The old emotions already are old. They're old. And she wants there to still be that same relationship. And he doesn't get this. And this, so she's mezalzim, zilzulim, and kfiris. That's what happens. It happens with Hashem, it happens with people. That's just how, that's how it is. It can't sustain a relationship. Pure emotion can never, ever sustain a relationship. They end up killing each other. They end up hating each other. They end up resenting each other. At least in the secular world, they don't get married. They just live with each other. And then they hate each other and they go on to something else, which is what's happening even in our world. Just in our world, it's particularly painful because Jews don't do things like that for the most part. So they try to be Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and they also have a child or two or three, and then they go to each his own way. This is what Hashem Yirachem. We should be filled with the heart of Yiddishkeit and the mind of Yiddishkeit, and the Tefillin Shel Yad, the Tefillin Shel Rosh should be joined together. That's what Mashiach is all about. Those two worlds, Mashiach Ben Yosef, Mashiach Ben David, should be joined together. We should be zeich to be nechtavim, and the Sefer Mishal Tzadikim of Yiddishkeit is filled with feeling, it's filled with understanding, and we should be zeich and Hashem to be able to continue learning this form of the tzaddik throughout the year.